TPE Network. Fun yet informative podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our TV and movie reviews podcast, episode 38. I'm Hank, and I'm joined by Mel and John. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Doing good.
I'm great, like always.
Perfect. Love it. Let's get right into it, because there's a lot of ground to cover. What did you guys think? I'll start with Mel. What did you think about the setting of this fictional area of Khandaq?
Well, it reminded me a lot of a place that Queen Bee would be in charge of, but that's neither here nor there. I watched too much Young Justice, so I
nice.
So I had to let that go. But the setting seemed good. You know, it just it did what it needed to do, like a vaguish Middle Eastern area. So I think it was right.
John?
I mean, it just feels like they recycled the set left over from any other, Arabian, whatever, that entire area. I mean, it's not like it's anything that really like set it apart from everything else. I mean, it's just, I guess, easy to film and easy to build a set whenever you're in a fictional place that doesn't really exist, that's in an area that you really can't 100% pinpoint. But for what it was, yes. Although I'm not sure about the Antarctic thing, but I know we'll get to that.
All right. Do you guys want to start going over some of the characters from the movie?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Let's start with Black Adam, played by Dwayne Johnson. John, how did you think he did in this movie?
Well, I mean, we were already discussing, but someone needs to correct us. I don't believe there was an eye pop in this, so... Outside of what you would typically think that Rock would do. I mean, I like what him being literal, like because he's from a completely different age. And in general, I thought he did a good job for a completely antisocial character, because he already does that really well. At least they gave him a character that was just like that. So that he fits the role. How he did acting wise, I mean, of course, just give him a whole bunch of short lines and it's easy for him to get through.
Right. Mel?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's good that they didn't bother trying to give him an accent. went into his strong suit. So there was that. And I mean, he's definitely, they definitely played up to his strengths. I mean, it's just that he didn't do any real flexes that we're known for that's known for The Rock, and he didn't really do that, what do you call it, Jumanji smoldering eye or whatever it was, smoldering look. But besides that, I thought he did pretty well.
Okay. I went into this knowing that he was just going to play pretty much himself in this movie. So I didn't have any expectation going in. And therefore, I was not disappointed, because he just plays a similar character in almost everything he does. All right, let's move on to Hawkman. Mel, I'll start with you. What were your takeaways from Hawkman?
I was hoping that we were going to get some of the Hawkman, Hawkwoman lore. I don't believe that he was even an alien. Giant, would you back me up? Was he alien or was he human around?
He's
definitely human, right?
Yeah, he reincarnates every time he gets killed.
Okay.
And so, he's forced to find his girl over again.
Yeah, and so I wanted some of that, and some of that lore. We didn't get it. I like the actor. You know, I've seen him quite a few things. I even remember him killing. No spoilers. I remember him in a second season of Supernatural. So way back then, I was this close to pulling the John. Sorry. 15-year spoilers here.
There we go.
But
unlocked.
So I like that. I mean, I remember him in Straight Out of Compton and also Leverage. So I like the actor. Good to see him getting some work.
Yeah.
I thought he did well with the what he had. I mean, he definitely didn't explore the lore, but he did well with what he had as far as that character.
Okay.
I mean, for all he knows, it's a guy who just put on a hawk suit. I mean, I don't know if they told him anything beyond that or if he's a fan. I mean, he just played it straight. So, but I mean, for what it was, I thought it was good.
What about you, John?
We need more backstory on him. I mean, we're rolling up on Hawkman mansion or whatever estates. And then, okay, what was the metal that the ship was made out of all the way down to the bolts that couldn't be destroyed, but yet got destroyed?
Right. I forgot.
It's metal.
And the thing is, like, I'm like looking at this. I'm like, well, first off, where does he have all this money? Because I thought he was supposed to be reincarnated. It's not, but most of the time, he doesn't know who he is until like midway through. Secondly, I was I'm like looking at all this technology. I'm like, hold on a second. Okay, why does he have stuff that's like from space almost? So the character itself, I don't know what they were trying to get at or do. The guy playing the character, I mean, he did a good job as far as I'm concerned, but at the same notion, I'm in the same wheelhouse as Hank here in a second, which we'll explain.
Yeah, for me, you guys know where I stand on swapping characters and stuff. I tend to just lean towards original source material. I know a lot of people don't have an issue when they swap characters, whether it be race or gender or whatnot. But for this particular character, the only way I've ever noticed them was, you know, just in a different paint job. So I was expecting that until I got to the theater. I didn't know anything about this movie. And then when I saw it kind of unfold, I was like, I guess it's fine. But it just didn't stand out to me in any way, shape or form. It was like he didn't have a lot to work with, but I don't know. It was just an interesting take on that character. Anything else?
Yes, but would it have made more sense for Martian Manhunter to be there instead?
I would have preferred what they were doing.
We already have somebody with a backstory. We already have, you know, the check mark they were trying to do, and he would have a reason for an alien metal that's indestructible.
Yep.
The nth metal. So yeah, just a little thing I thought about just now, but okay. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, there you go. TPE Network rewriting movies better than they're written in the first one.
I mean, couldn't we just slim it down and just have a Dr. Fate episode? Because
let's get to him right now. John, I'll let you take it away.
Before that, let's take a moment of silence for our loss of Dr. Fate, the best character in the entire movie.
F's in the chat right now. There we go.
That Pierce Brosnan was the best pick to play Dr. Fate, and he played it perfectly.
Yeah.
And he was the most interesting character in the whole movie. And I'm annoyed that they killed him off at the end. And you know, why let's see more of him.
Most certainly. Mel.
Well, I mean, to be fair, can you see Pierce Brosnan doing multiple movies, jumping through big studio hoops again? I think he's going to pull a Danny Glover, right, and say he's too old for that.
I'm too old for this.
So I think one movie was probably the best we could do with him.
Okay.
But I liked it. I mean, I don't know if he was the best because, you know, I'm an 80s kid, so I, of course, know Remington Steele, but I'm always partial to Dennis Quaid. I wonder if Dennis Quaid could have done that as well, but, you know, can you do?
Wow.
But, I liked it. I wish we had more backstory with him as well. Just, just a lot of good characters and not much explained.
I thought he was the best character in the movie. And I also thought he, you know, like acting wise, it's a wide berth, period, in my opinion. But he's the hero of the movie. And I mean, he makes everything happen. He brings everything full circle.
I mean, I knew nothing about this character when they were like, oh, and his helmet is this metal from a different world. And I'm like, cool, I'm learning things. Right. And then we lose all that. I mean, I think one of the best characters there.
Wait, side note, John, you never watched Smallville or Young Justice? This is your first time with Dr. Fate?
Yes.
You're killing me, Smalls.
He used it. Unlocked. Adam Smasher, I personally thought the character was a little too campy for me in this particular movie. Maybe he'll grow on me if he gets to continue on with the role. But just wasn't for me, but didn't detract from the movie at all, but it just was kind of goofy. Mel, what did you think about him?
I think Atom Smasher and Cyclone, I think they were there for the next generation. I don't think they were there for us. I think the kids needed some young people to look at and needed some need a will they won't they love story. Oh, so I think that's why that was there.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if John was going to touch on this later, but in the comics, they touched on it a little bit at the last time Atom Smasher saw Black Adam, but they're buddies in the comics in a few issues. And so like they do missions together, Black Adam and Atom Smasher Jr. or whatever we want to denote him as the uncle, as a nephew. But yeah, so that was a little touch to that at the end. He was like, maybe we can hang out again or something like that. That's what that meant.
Interesting, John.
I mean, I'm more happy with the fact that, the Fonz was the original Atom Smasher. That makes the entire thing so much better. He's like, bring back my suit. Okay, that's right.
I agree.
I think he did okay.
Yeah.
Although, if you're going to say the Fonz was the original Atom Smasher, you should have just said, Scott Baio was the new one.
Nice. He did it. He's unlocking them left and right, dude. He's going deep into the freaking 80s. He's bringing us back. We'll just jump on Cyclone. I didn't care about the character, to be honest with you. I was just like, another one, not for me. I was expecting rainbows to pop out or something special like that, but whatever. I just thought it was odd.
Yeah. I don't think she needed to be there with her bicycle and stuff.
Stack shoes and bicycles. I was like, oh, it's Abby from NCIS.
Well, I mean, everyone's rolling up in the Rolls Royce into the mansion, so let's be campy and roll up in my bicycle.
Right. Yeah. That was like, oh, okay. Mel, big Cyclone fan, are you?
I believe it or not, this is the first time I remember seeing a character of this ilk. I don't remember Cyclone in any of the other things. I remember, I consume everything. so I'm not sure if this is her first appearance or not. I didn't look into that. But, I mean, for what it was, I mean, we obviously needed, if we're going to have a team, we need at least one female. I mean, at least she was more useful than just having a Glock, a Glock against, alien invasion in New York. So I feel like she brought more to the table. There's that.
Ouch.
I'm more interested in hearing her backstory. That mad scientist thing sounded interesting, but I didn't think she detracted. And so, at least we needed her, I think.
Okay. Just a few more to get through. Adriana, did you think she was going to steal the show, John?
Yeah, actually, you're a little bit there. I mean, I'm the only one that could talk to Black Adam and, focus everything around. And this person has the crown. And I'm like, seriously, just stay in your house.
She knew everything. She was like, she could beat down all the skeletons. Her brother was scared of them. I was okay. Mel?
I think I could deal with less Adriana and her kid and more backstory of the superheroes, because correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a superhero movie. So
it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, imagine. Yeah. I just thought they overdid with those two. I mean, once again, I don't have a problem with Sarah Shahi. I loved her in everything I've seen her in. And of course the character becomes Isis in the comics. Don't know if they were going to do that later, if there's going to be in the sequel, if that's going to happen or not. But in the comics, it's not her son, it's her brother, but both of them is Isis and Osiris. They get powers from Black Adam, and so maybe that's why they kind of went on a little thick with those characters, because they're obviously going to be the sequel and they're going to get powers maybe.
Okay.
But I would have liked to have seen more of the superheroes and less of the the plain Janes, so to speak.
And I can get behind that.
Let's talk about the son real quick. I kind of liked him in the beginning more than I did later on. I thought he added to the story early, and then later on I was like, it's kind of, it was a little too much screen.
Would you say laundry chute? I was like, who builds the secret passage into that? And then, these people are hunting me down, so let me get out of my hiding spot.
Oh, not bad.
Although I will give him that. He's got some good skateboarding skills.
Yeah, so. He did. He added a lot to the story early. But after a while, I was like, okay, stop making this about him and what he wants. You know,
I want to interject something for homework for everybody. Okay. Think about the last time there was a movie with adults and people were happy every single time the kid showed up. It was like, wow, I would like to see the kid more.
Never happened ever.
I can't. I'm a movie guy and I cannot think of anything. No. So maybe that's because it doesn't exist. But what do I know?
You got to have them in there so you'll take the kids. The Ishmael character. Mel, what did you think of that character?
You know, I completely missed that he was playing the king because the way the king's face was obscured or whatever. But, you know, the same actor playing both of them. So I thought that was cool. But you couldn't really tell at the beginning. But, yeah, I mean, he looked evil from the start.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they trusted that guy.
I agree. It was like a big red arrow should have been pointing towards him going, this is the bad guy. You guys want to know who the antagonist is? It's him.
Yeah, his name might as well have been Judas. Like, I don't.
Where exactly is that crown? John, what did you think about that character?
I mean, you're right. Can you wear any more of a big sign that says, you know, protagonist or antagonist? Sorry. He just creeped back. I mean, I don't know. I didn't actually like him at all. Okay.
No.
And I mean, again, this is so much about the character, so much the writing, but you know, oh, I'm a descendant of the king from what they say, like 5,000 years ago. And I'm like, what? Stop trying to shove this down my throat. This isn't real.
Yeah, agreed. And
none of his relatives ever left Kondok. You know, nope. Everybody stayed right there and
stayed local.
Every no mixed races. Everybody.
Look, this is my thing. We can't even get our own history right, and yet his history has been passed down for 5,000 years. I call bull.
Just on the nose, too. You know what?
No Egyptians ever showed up. No. Persians. Like just all.
Just them.
All Kondok history them. To make them look like the same person.
That's some strong DNA, dude. Let's talk about Karim for our last one. I thought he was funny. I don't think they went over the top with him. I thought it was just enough. John, what did you think?
Yep. No, I agree. I felt bad whenever he got shot. And then I do like the fact where he's like running around there at the end. He's like, I died by electricity. So he just starts like taking people out.
Yeah, that was cool.
Mel?
Yeah, he was good. You know, he was comic relief. I didn't think it was too much. But yeah, definitely. It's just if they want to make him comic relief, make sure to, I mean, then I don't think the Hawkman and Adam Smasher, you and me later thing, I mean, that just kind of, I mean, you already got the comic relief guys, so no reason for these scenes to repeat. But yeah, I thought it was good for what it was.
Hey, John has a heart out, everyone. So I want John to just take the floor for the last few minutes that he's here and just give us your rating, John, and give us some of the things that you liked and didn't like.
All right. So I'm going to give this rating this a 6. I went in knowing nothing about these characters and coming out knowing even less about these characters. And this entire like world building, they're still trying to keep it connected, which you know is nice and all, only if their universe actually still worked, because it keeps falling apart every time and they keep trying to continuing it. come on. I mean, like, I wonder what they had to do to like twist Henry Cavill's arm to come in to do the last cameo at the end.
All right.
Because it kind of maddens me with some of the stuff that's going on. Like, of course, you know, so these demons give this guy all this power, but then we have the wizards that gave the one guy his powers. It's kind of able to beat him. I will give it this. One of the better death scenes of a bad guy I've seen. I did like being torn in half.
I didn't like the animation. If you got that much money to throw into a movie, please make that better.
Whatever. I mean, it was all like at that point in time, it was just like, come on, like I'm believing anything that's going on here. I mean, I was more interested whenever the Moon Knight, whenever we had the Egyptian gods walking around in the background than what was going on here. But, you know, the living in this fictitious place that, you know, clearly everyone seems to know the information about, but not everything. But then the Justice Society does know everything on something that's 5,000 years old, which they still don't even know all the stuff with the Egyptians, which were 3,000 years old, which that's what's holding me back for this whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that they're like, oh, well, you know, we know because of all this history right here. I'm like, okay, but there's if not more history over in Egypt, and we still can't understand any of that stuff.
Yeah, they knew his name and everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay.
That was what kind of like, you know, killed it for me. I mean, I did enjoy watching The Rock, just like, you know, I love how whenever he does his punching, he basically, it's like, you know, light speed to a person to punch him, and then he just kind of like just floats there. I really enjoyed that and going around and having to deal with, you know, rage issues. And this was just a good prequel leading into if they ever do a Black Adam versus Superman.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I got done it, I'm like, well, who would win? And the only thing I'm finding is that, like, oh, well, Black Adam, you know, got up with Superman, but he was also dressed up as Shazam. And I'm like, ugh. Oh, and then we're going to have another Shazam movie, but I didn't see any reference to him in that, which I was kind of confused because, I mean, they work hand in hand.
Yeah, that is one of the biggest faults of this. But, John, I know you got to go, but thanks for stopping by.
Yep, you guys enjoy. I'll talk to everyone later.
All right.
Okay, see you later.
Yep.
All right, Mel, it's down to you and me. We're going to continue with the problems and wins. So are there some things that really stuck out to you as problems?
I think there's backstory for the most part. You bring a bunch of nobodies into something for the most part. And I mean, we didn't know anything about them. And apparently they're so unknown that this kid who keeps getting thrown on us has every figurine and poster of every hero except these people, which means these people work in the shadows, the Justice Society.
Right.
And so not only does nobody know who they are in universe, we don't know who they are out universe as audience members. So that was a problem. So somebody, we needed more backstory. And here's a minor tweak. Instead of having, you know, fine, you want to have Ishmael be the bad guy. Why not? We already know that Hawkman can reincarnate. Yeah, reincarnate. Why not have Hawkman there from the beginning?
Thank you.
Have him there. Have him witness the thing. Yep. They already know each other. And that way there's the whole 15 minutes of betrayal doesn't matter because he just shows up and says, oh, it's one of his descendants.
Yeah.
So we take 20 minutes of that out of the 15 to 20 minutes out of that. We put more onto backstory where somebody's saying, instead of just saying their name, they actually explain who each person is. It shows a quick clip of their backstory.
Right.
Like for example, oh, this is Adam Smasher. He inherited his uncle's powers, or this suit gives him powers. You know, just something, show it two, 3 minutes. You know, we know in DC's wheelhouse, they like to do that little Suicide Squad scroll. You know, do that or show it. There's just a lot of opportunity that they missed.
I agree.
With the backstory, or just to connect it a little bit better.
And that intro, man, that information dump on the intro was horrific.
I am
all for getting a little exposition or just give me a little synopsis. But my goodness, they just bombard you in that opening with this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened and this happened. I was like, wow, man. It was like too much data and I didn't have enough storage.
Yeah, there was just that's why there's so much they could have done with this material and they just kind of went a different route.
Yeah.
Like there was a way to get it to us, you know, like think about it. Shang-Chi also had an alien metal that somebody found.
Yep.
And it wasn't an info dump. You know, they showed us. They just showed him find it. They showed him use it. So it was just there's a good way to do that.
Yes, I agree. So that was rough. I had problems with how they wrote each of the characters, because like I said, Dr. Fate really shined for me, and you shouldn't, I'm not saying you shouldn't and you can't, but when you have the cast that you have for this movie, and I'm not saying Dwayne Johnson is bad or anything like that, I'm just saying maybe you kind of, you know, nerf Dr. Fate a little bit, you know what I mean? Because he really stuck out to me. The person I was watching with, other people in the theater, we were all kind of looking at each other like, this is like, when he's doing stuff, it's really believable and it was really captivating. And then when other people would do stuff, I was like, I can tell a difference. But that's just me being picky. Any other major problems you had?
No, that's pretty much it. It's just I have a hard time believing that Dr. Fate couldn't have stopped Black Adam in the first fight.
Right.
That's just really hard for me to get my mind around. But other than that, you know, no big losses for me.
Okay. And the only other thing is, like, when I say if a studio has a huge budget like this did, just some of the animation, I'm like, should be better when the budget's there. If the budget's not there, then I understand.
I do have one nitpick that I didn't want to be that guy, but when he gets loose in underwater prison, why can't he just take the mask off right then and there?
That was just to build suspense.
Yeah, and it's just like
reasons.
His arms were free. Like,
yeah, it was reasons. You know, they have to. Whoever wrote it is like, you have to get to this. We want this tension here. And then instead of kind of distilling that down better, they're just like, well, he's still got the mask on. Yeah, that sounds good. You know, and they just run with it. And that's one of those things where you kind of see why that took place. And it is not an excuse. It's definitely not excusable.
And if Amanda Waller can have Superman on her beck and call, why can't she have, and she has somebody from the Peacemaker show at the underwater area who that I don't know if you recognize her from that or the second Suicide Squad movie, the blonde lady.
Oh, I did not recognize her. I she looked familiar, but I was like, I couldn't think of who that was.
Yeah, so she's the one who helped betray, you know, Waller in Suicide Squad, and then, you know, so her crappy assignment is having to babysit Peacemaker in the show.
Okay, I remember that now. Okay.
Which brings a question of, is this before or after Peacemaker? Because I believe this is supposed to be after. And if this is after, then they should be able to just have Aquaman there and help as well. So technically.
Jeez.
But that's neither here nor there. But yeah. So I thought much more could have been there. You're right. Sorry. I digress. Let's go to wins.
No, let's go to some wins. Wins. It was just a fun movie. There was messaging in it. People keep telling me there wasn't messaging. I'm like, yes, there was. There was messaging in it. You know, it's the bad guys are the cops and the people are the, you know, minorities. That's what they're trying to give you, that message. So I was a little put off by that because I don't want messaging in my stuff. I just want storytelling, personally. Call me crazy. But other than that, I thought they had an opportunity to capitalize on other movies going too far with that stuff. And I don't think they went too far. I think it was there. But it was a fun experience. I went with friends, and then we went out to eat afterwards. So it was just a nice, what do they call them, popcorn movies?
Yes.
When you go to them and you're just chilling out and just kind of enjoying it for what it is. And I thought they ramped up the action tremendously. What are some wins for you?
Well, I really loved his display of powers. Almost every time he uses powers, it was just awesome. Like, he didn't do anything that I thought was minor. Like, literally, like, just the electricity, the speed, like, anytime he did anything, almost, it just felt like just a great display to me. And so I really liked, you know, all of the power scenes there. And yeah, they did really good and really good. They did a lot of wins during a lot of the superhero displays for the most part. I mean, it wasn't really jumbled where you couldn't tell what was going on. I mean, it wasn't one of those, you know, 100 edited Marvel shots where it takes 100 cuts to see somebody jump over a fence kind of thing.
Here's the bottom of his shoes. Here's his ankles. Here's his wrist. Here's his head.
Yeah. So you could keep up for the most part. And, you know, when he saved the kid at the end, at that end of the scene, you know, if that was a Marvel movie, you wouldn't have been able to see what was going on. You wouldn't have been able to figure it out. You'd have, because it was just so fast and a display of how it worked. But this movie, you know, they did that well. And so really like the power displays.
Okay. I would agree with you on that. Like, that dude is jacked. He is jacked. And so when he does stuff, it really makes the impact seem like it's way, way bigger and better than it is. Any other big wins for you?
Just fanboy moments, you know, seeing Superman, seeing I think her name's Harcourt from Peacemaker. just fanboy moments other than that.
Fair enough. Well, should we get into our ratings, Mel?
Sure, let's.
Would you like me to go first or do you want to go first?
I'll go first. Okay. Just want to double down on the rating system. You can see that on tpenetwork.com/feedback.
Nice.
And I'm going to double down on what John gave as well. I'm giving it a 6, which is average.
Yep.
And that is okay writing, acting, storytelling, and execution. I would love to give it a 7, which is solid writing. But I think they gave us too much of things we didn't need and not enough things that we did need. And there are some things they could have easily explained and took out some things we didn't really need to know. Like Slave Rebellion overthrew King, Throne King. We don't really need much backstory on that. it's not.
Got your trope?
Please. Yeah, please show me 20 minutes of this. You know, so on the other hand, a mad scientist experiment on me. Wait, what?
0 minutes spent on that.
Yeah, so it's just, so that's why I want to give it a 7. It's a solid writing, but I think the writers didn't give us enough of what we needed.
I agree. It's a clean sweep. I'm giving it a 6 as well. I left the theater and I was like, it might be a 6.5. And then the more I've stewed on it and thought about it, I was like, no, it's a 6. And that's not bad. That's like I said before, a fun time out. Something you could pop in and watch. The action scenes alone make it rewatchable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think a 6 means it's rewatchable for the most part. Whereas a 5 and below, you're like, okay, if this movie's on, I'm only gonna watch this scene.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, or like, none of it.
Yeah, you're like, hey, if it's Matrix 2, I'm only gonna watch the car chase, the freeway chase, and then call it a day.
That's an excellent, good one.
Yeah, so I think a 6 is good.
Mel, anything else on this movie before we wrap it up?
You know, we know that they got approved for the sequel, correct?
I did not hear that.
Okay, yeah, I got approved for the sequel. And apparently this has been worked on in development hell, so to speak, since I think 2009 or 2010. They've been working on this for a while.
Yikes.
Yeah, so it's good if they finally got this out.
That is a long development cycle. They say what was the holdup?
No, they didn't. But hopefully the next one comes out a little sooner. I mean, you know, clearly we liked it. So, you know, strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah. You can't wait 3 years and everybody's forgotten it by then, you know? So hopefully it's a couple years away, I hope, or less. We'll see. We will find out. And they could go in a good direction if they can keep Henry Cavill. That would be a lot of fun. The next movie we're going to do, Black Panther 2.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
It comes out on Veterans Day. So that is how we will be celebrating that. So, yes.
As always, Mel, thank you for your service.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. So we will wrap it up there and we'll be back pretty soon for Black Panther 2. And we'll see how that shakes out. I've heard a lot of critiques and stuff and some praises, but we'll see once we get to actually sit down in the theater.
I have been pulling the mail and avoiding every YouTube commercial, every YouTube video that likes to put spoilers in about the trailers.
Good.
You know, I'm not.
Good.
I'm in.
People are starting to do it right now. People are starting to do it in the artwork now. For TV shows and movies, that's driving me nuts because I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. I get why some of them are doing it, because if you don't, you're losing out to the other people that are just going to do that anyway. But man, that really makes a hard situation for you to go even onto the homepage of YouTube, you know. But
yeah, so I think Thursday the 10th, I'm definitely not going to be on YouTube that day.
No, well, certainly not. All right, so we'll be back for Black Panther 2. But for Mel, I'm Hank. Until the next time, we're signing off.
See you later.
TPE Network. There ain't nothing else like it.